a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Time, where we're changing the world one ohm at a time. So here on Ohm Times, as always, we are doing our third, sometimes it's our fourth when there's five Thursdays, but right around this time of month, every month, we do Planetary Influences, where we bring on none other than the astrological guru in the form of Rob Stewart from innercenter.org. And Rob tells us kind of, what are going to be the planetary influences for this incoming time of Sagittarius? So we will be getting to that shortly. Rob is on the air and on hold. Normally, Lori is joining us, who is a good friend and a regular part-time co-hostess of mine. Unfortunately, she's a little under the weather, so we're going to send her some lovely, sunny, warm, healing energies for her that she gets healthy and returns soon. Next week, there will be an encore replay as I will be engaging in old ritualistic customs of overeating and hanging out with a very small few limited family members. And you know what? When you can distance 6 feet, it's easier to pretend that you didn't hear what they say. No, I didn't mean that.
I was just kidding. Just kidding.
Sorry, my family doesn't listen to my radio show anyways. I never told them I did one, so I could say all these bad things about them. No. We do want to remind you that this is a live call-in show, and that if you have any questions for myself or Rob tonight, you can call in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. You can ask your questions, again, about the upcoming astrology or anything that you feel like, as long as the question is respectful. That's all we ask here, is that the questions are respectful. So, that being said, many of you know that I put out a monthly newsletter. If you don't, every month I put out a newsletter with some words to inspire and motivate, hopefully, a vlog, so you get to see me talking about something, and whatever upcoming things of interest, plus a link to this show, of course. If you'd like to be on the Dr. Kevin mailing list, you can go to Dr. Kevin, D-R-K-E-V-I-N, at mydrkevin.com. You can take a little free quiz at the top if you would like, or you can just sign up on the mailing list there if you would like to be receiving that newsletter. I don't normally promote it on the radio show, but I'm promoting it this week because this month's issue that's coming out on Friday actually is entitled Healing Wounds and Moving Forward. And when I went to kind of write what I was going to put out for this month, what I did end up doing was I ended up writing a poem called Wounds. And I am going to take a minute before we get into the astrology. I'm going to share this poem with you. And if you really like it, you can, again, go to the news, go to mydrkevin.com, sign up for the newsletter. You can send me an email and I can send you a link. It is on my YouTube channel, which is also My Dr. Kevin. Imagine that. M-Y-D-R-K-V-I-N. Spell it out on a social media platform. If I'm there, you'll find me, because that's what I'm under. So now I want to share again this called Wounds. And again, this month's newsletter is about healing wounds and moving forward. How do you heal wounds that are constantly being picked at? How can you bring a healthy new world when you have not cured the illnesses of the old one? Our world, our race, the human race, has physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual illnesses. For some, they say the prognosis is terminal. For me, it is hopeful. Physically, we allow our greed to ruin our planet. We allow our disenfranchisement, powerlessness, frustration, and anger to hurt ourselves, each other, and our planet, separating us from our own humanity. Mentally and emotionally, our frail egos, insecurities, and lack of worthiness turns us into both abusers and victims, both suffering and creating the violence, perpetuating the vitriol, and living in the land of self-justifications for our hatreds. Spiritually, we deny the hypocrisy of our religions and their actions. We say we pray to a loving God and yet kill in his name. We say we pray at the altar of a compassionate God and yet treat other humans as less than animals and objects. We cannot heal the planet's wounds until we each do our best to heal our own. We must cleanse ourselves of judgment and hate to recognize and release the hypocrisy inherently present when we do horrible things in the name of our God. And lastly, we need to walk away from the false gods of fear, hate, power, and wealth. When we can embrace first our own divine nature, we can then be free to recognize the divine nature in others and recognize God in all things. That all life, two-legged, four-legged, finned, and winged, is all sacred. But until we heal the separation within ourselves from our own divine and push back away from our table of abuse, self and otherwise, we cannot heal, nor can the world. So heal thyself, own your God-like nature, not as being God over anyone or anything else, but as the God self that recognizes everyone else's God self and the sacred nature of all things, including the planet herself. So, on that note, we're going to welcome in Rob Stewart from innercenter.org to talk about planetary influences. So, Rob, what'd you think of the poem before you start doing it? Lie, I don't care. Tell me you liked it. No.
That was wonderful, Dr. Kevin. Really, really awesome. And really fitting to the time we're in. So, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I felt like it was fitting to the time. And I think that there is a lot of wounds that we are picking at, both because of this pandemic and this current political shit show we've got going on. And I know that astrologically, we're not done yet. So I thought this was a good time. So speaking of which, astrology, an interesting subject. Do fill us in, Mr. Rob.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. And thanks for having me on. There's a lot going on. And over the next month, there's definitely a lot of change and maybe some surprises in the month ahead, at least astrologically speaking. So, so the sun's entering Sagittarius on Sunday, November 22nd. And Sagittarius is about adaptability. It's the type of thing where no matter what's going on here on the planet, you know, we're connected to something greater, something beyond the physical world. And Sagittarius is the basis of philosophical thinking and intuitive knowing. And it's about exploring different ideas, different lenses in which we see the world. And so Sagittarius really speaks to traveling or just exploring and embracing different perspectives. And, one of the challenges with Sagittarius is that sometimes we can make generalizations with the Sagittarius energy. And so that's something to, to be aware of in the month ahead. And it's a type of thing that, you know, sometimes with Sagittarius energy, we want other people to think the same way that we do. And that's something I think we're all guilty of course. But during Sagittarius season, there's this search for truth in our own life. What's true for me? What is true? And sometimes in the shadow side of that, we can project that into the others and assume that they see it the same way or that they should see it the same way. And again, I think that's something we all do at different times. But, you know, Sagittarius is also about finding the limitations in our own belief system. So, and we have a solar eclipse occurring in the sign of Sagittarius that we'll talk about, and also a lunar eclipse in Gemini. So there's this type of thing, which has been a theme, I think, no matter who you talk to, regarding facts versus belief systems and things like that. So there's a lot of that energy going on and will go on into the year ahead, according to these eclipses that are coming up. So, So the first thing I want to talk about, and we talked about this last month, was on November 21st. This is just in a couple of days here, Saturday, November 21st. Transiting Saturn is making a conjunction with the U.S.'s Pluto in the second house of finances and survival issues and things like that. And Saturn brings challenges, it brings burdens, it brings limitations. And Pluto represents our subconscious behaviors, our compulsions, and things like that. And so this brings challenge. There's potential challenges for the U.S. in the week ahead, but also the month ahead, and so on. Saturn makes a conjunction with places in the birth chart once every 30 years. And the last time this occurred before 2020 was January 16th, 1991. And that was right as the Gulf War was beginning. I think it started the next day, the sort of airstrikes for Desert Storm began on the 17th of 1991. And there were a lot of aspects in the U.S.'s chart at the time that supported a conflict. The transiting North Node was conjunct the transiting Sun, which was conjunct the Saturn. All of that was touching the U.S.'s Pluto. There was a lot going on at the time that suggested conflict. And this time around, don't know what will happen, but potentially some challenge for the U.S. is likely to occur. What it is, I don't know. There are some aspects that support some type of challenge and conflict. Transiting Mars is sextile. The U.S. is Mars, but Mars is being opposed by transiting Saturn. So it's a type of energy that doesn't fully support some type of conflict. So it's not as strong in terms of suggesting some type of conflict in that way, but some sort of challenge is likely to occur. I know there's, we're going through a spike in the COVID crisis right now. And that might be what it speaks to, but it's likely there's something in addition is how I see the chart. This has happened twice already this year. The first time that Saturn came in contact with the U.S.'s Pluto was February 23rd. And this was right as COVID was sort of picking up steam here in the U.S. And there was a market crash that on the February 27th, just 4 days after this Saturn-Pluto conjunction, because of the fear, the growing fear of COVID and the effect on the economy and so on. So it's possible that there's some market volatility, some market difficulty, perhaps this next week. And I'm not a financial advisor, so please consult your financial advisor. I don't do that sort of thing, but these are the types of energies that have shown up in the past, and I just want to bring them up as these possibilities. the conjunction occurred again in August 4th. It was retrograde. And during retrograde motion, there's just not as much tooth in the bite type of thing. And there was some mysterious blast in Beirut at the time. I don't know how that would ever be related to the U.S., but that was sort of matches some of these past Pluto-Saturn conjunctions that occurred, you know, back in 1991 and things like that. So, you know, the bottom line is that it's possible for some sort of unexpected challenge to occur, maybe in this next week. Mercury is opposite Uranus right now. And that can bring some sudden news, sudden unexpected events, things like that. So that's just something to be aware of over this next week. And whatever does occur, it's likely there's some confusion around it, or there's some fogginess about it, because Neptune right now is square this north node and south node of the moon. So there's just a sort of this hazy conditions that's been going on for a while now, where there's just some confusion and the sort of fog of a fog it's difficult to see things with more clarity. But I know we're coming up to a break here, but any questions about that, Dr. Kevin?
So the first thing is that sometimes when you have this kind of, and I will ask my question as soon as we get back after our first break here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're here with Rob Stewart from innercenter.org. If you are listening to this month's Planetary Influences and you're going, this is all really kind of sort of neat stuff, but I have no idea what's in my chart or how it would apply to me, go to innercenter.org and book an appointment with Rob. Right, Rob?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. Okay. So what I wonder is, with this Saturn that went across the Pluto, and we had the market dropped a couple of days later. It was when the COVID was really rising. Then when it went back, we had the only thing you could really find was this mysterious blow up in Beirut. And now it's coming back to hit it again. Now, of course, this is based on the chart of the U.S. And last time I checked, Beirut, I don't think they got statehood yet. So I don't think that they're part of the U.S. However, I wonder, because this is something that in my estimation, I could be wrong, and feel free to say if I am, Rob, that it could be that some information comes out that is detrimental to the U.S. or links the U.S. to this mysterious thing that comes out and makes itself known when the Saturn hits it on the way forward. What do you think? Is that possible?
I mean, I have no idea. I realize that there are power plays that are done, geopolitics and the rest, and the U.S. is a big part of all that in an international way. How any of this is related, I don't know. But the bottom line is that all I can say is that there's potential for some sort of, it doesn't necessarily have to be related to that. But there's some sort of challenge that's likely to emerge or be talked about in the coming weeks is what the astrology is pointing to.
And I guess that part of my point was that sometimes those pieces will have something like this triple kick of Pluto by Saturn. When the middle kick doesn't make sense until way afterwards, and then something clears up. Then it doesn't always happen that way. But I just want to put that out there that sometimes what happens is whatever happens when the retrograde planet goes back over isn't obvious until it goes back over the other way. Like it brings it out. So then it'll go, oh. So that's what I was referring to. But
Right. Yeah. And yeah, it's certainly a possibility, no doubt about that.
Okay, so it wouldn't be the first time that we got caught red-handed messing in some other part of the world without where we weren't invited or where we didn't want to have people know that we were doing it. Okay,
so
continue. I have no other question.
So November 30th, we have a full moon lunar eclipse in Gemini. And so this year we've had six eclipses. We're going to have a total of six eclipses, four lunar eclipses and two solar eclipses. And eclipses bring great change. The old societies, in antiquity, they really dreaded eclipses because they brought massive change. And the bottom line is that the change that occurs is for the better. That's every year that there's these eclipses that occur and they bring massive change. And sometimes we don't want change, but change is unavoidable, of course, in life. And in astrology, eclipses really are a marker of great change. And so so it's a full moon, it's a lunar eclipse. Full moons are times in which things are really brought to a head. And it's a culmination, and it's a time to let go of what no longer is working. And lunar eclipses are basically full moons on steroids. You know, their effects last for months and months. And this is in the sign of Gemini, so it's about looking at our own perceptions, our own thought patterns. What's true for me? What are the facts here? And it's sort of the lens that I'm seeing the world through. And so there's something about this full moon lunar eclipse that's a decision point for all of us in our life to make a positive sort of inflection point. You know, what decisions do I need to make now that will be most beneficial in my life? The ruler of Gemini is Mercury, and that's at 28 degrees Scorpio on November 30th. And so there's something about looking into the deeper aspects of our own psychology, our own inner psyche. And this is a really positive lunar eclipse. Mercury, the ruler of Gemini, is making a sextile with Saturn and Jupiter in Capricorn. So there's really harmonious opportunities to shed and release old thinking patterns that just don't serve us. And it's a time in which we can make solid strategies to solve our problems in life. You know, this applies to each of us individually, but of course, collectively. So, yeah, it's a really positive eclipse that really brings opportunities to do the inner work and looking at things from a factual standpoint and a, you know, looking at the details in our life and letting go of what doesn't work, you know, our own thinking patterns that aren't serving us. So that's...
So, mm-hmm. So let me ask you this question. Which is that if somebody has a sun in Gemini, are they more likely to have, because, you know, a lot of people, they're listening to this and they're understanding what the message to the greater thing is, but they don't really know, well, where is my moon? Where is my Mercury? I mean, they may not know all of this stuff.
But if they're
a Gemini, and they may know if they're a Gemini moon because that's gotten pretty popular, is there anything that would be that somebody who is a Gemini or a Gemini moon would feel it more intensely, more deeply, would be more aware of outplay of?
That's right. So, yeah, so typically look at orbs, you know, within 10 degrees of the moon in Gemini. And but if you have any sign, any planet in the sign of Gemini, you're going to feel this perhaps more than someone that doesn't have an aspect to the moon in Gemini at 8 degrees. So it brings the opportunities for letting go, you know, of thinking patterns that have really come to a head, and there's a decision point. Do I want to continue along this course, or do I want to just stop with this thinking pattern or this old way of seeing things and move on? So it provides great opportunities for that type of thing, especially if you have an aspect to that moon at 8 or 9 degrees Gemini. Does that help answer the question?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to throw something out there to people that were listening, like, hey, I'm a Gemini, what does that mean to me? Like, you know, I mean, because, again, people know their sun sign. When they're lucky, they know their moon sign. And for people that have some kind of prominent Gemini energy, this new way of doing things or this change, this transformation, may be more intense or on a larger scale than somebody who doesn't really have much Gemini prominent energy that's going to be triggered. We all have Gemini somewhere. It's not like when you were born, Gemini took the day off. It's somewhere in your chart. And if you know where in your chart it is, you may even be able to identify where that play out would happen. You might be able to look at it and say, oh, okay, you know, my Gemini is in my seventh house. So knowing that's happening, I know that seventh house may be the area where I'm making more of my changes, or that may be the area it's up more. I always like to try to empower people to understand that there's a use for astrology when you do have your chart done and you do start to understand it, where you can put layers together and give yourself kind of a leg up on what's going on in the skies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, if you have your sun, moon, or ascendant is in Gemini or even in Sagittarius, you're going to have this affect you more than perhaps someone that does not have that aspect. And like I said, it is a time for letting go of old thinking patterns that don't support you. And the house that it falls in, you know, if it's in the seventh house, it's about relationship with other people. If it's in the sixth, it might be related to work or the daily routine. And so the placement of the house, placement of the planet in the house system really shows areas in life in which these opportunities really present themselves.
Yep. I mean, my natural Gemini, I mean, my natural Mercury hangs out in Leo at the tail end of my eighth house. And, you know, so it probably means I'm going to change the way I talk to dead people. I don't know. Maybe I'll talk to them from the other side. Maybe I'm going to kick off. When's that? November 30th? Should I plan my funeral now?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So so then I want to move into the solar eclipse that we have on December 14th. This is a new moon, but it's a full solar eclipse. And this is December 14th at 23 degrees Sagittarius. And so solar eclipses are powerful new beginnings, and they bring unexpected change. So the lunar eclipses are about letting go of what no longer serves. And the solar eclipses are about powerful new beginnings in life, new direction. And it brings sort of a turning point or a crossroads. This occurs every year. There's always solar eclipses occurring at the end of the year, the calendar year. And so Sagittarius, it's in Sagittarius, that's the lens in which we see the world. And it's also about the search for truth, truth with a capital T. And where Gemini is about the facts and the details and the nuts and bolts, so to speak. And so over the next year, the solar eclipse affects for the whole year, there might be a lot of truths coming to the surface for all of us, collectively, individually, and so on. And there might be a lot of areas in our lives in which the facts and our own individual belief systems collide. You know, certain things maybe in your own life or seeing things in your own life a certain way, and then something shows up in which that has to be dealt with individually, but also collectively and so on. And it brings new beginnings, new adventures with Sagittarius. And the solar eclipse is trine transiting Mars, which really brings a boost to everyone's assertion. Mars is in Aries. It brings a boost to assertion. It brings potentials for leadership and ability to push forward with self-confidence and courage. And this will be true for everyone. But if one of your sun, moon, ascendants, or anything else in the chart makes an aspect at that time to Mars, or Mars will be at 20 degrees Aries, and the moon and sun will be at 23 degrees Gemini and Sagittarius. So it brings new directions, unexpected directions. And this eclipse occurs opposite the US's Mars. And what this means is that it can bring some confrontations or competition. It's a type of thing that might require a lot of patience in the US and needs sort of tactics of taking more subtle approaches in life. And it's a type of thing that suggests like not to go in guns blazing for the US. Collectively here in the United States. And because going in guns blazing for whatever it is, whatever changes, whatever is going on in the next year, by going in guns blazing, so to speak, it will surely be met with resistance, opposition, and those types of things. And the eclipse is also quincunx the US's Mercury, which might bring some uncomfortableness with people sharing how they feel. It might bring it, Sun quincunx the Mercury brings sort of sometimes stage fright, speaking and sharing how we feel. The Mercury's in Cancer in the United States chart. But I guess the bottom line is that with this solar eclipse in Sagittarius, there's something that's bringing truth to the light. And these are some of the themes of this next year ahead, but also for this month ahead. Any questions about all that? before we move to
now, did I understand you to say that we have a solar eclipse at the end of every year? Did you say that?
It's the last couple of years we have had that.
Okay.
It's just in more recent times.
So right now we're in kind of a little bit of a pattern with them. Out of curiosity, because we're going to be going to break any minute now, and then we still have our last part of the Dr. Kevin show, and I don't know how much more stuff you have, but what would be interesting would be to take a peek to see if there is going to be a solar eclipse at the end of next year as well. Is this a pattern that is continuing? Is this a pattern of overall, you know, where we're being challenged to see new truths in hard ways? In hard ways. It's not the only way I can put it. Because, exposing the truth, and then you can do something with that truth, where living in lies and fantasy and in some la-la land, as we know some people are doing these days, hurts everybody and hurts them. And you can't do anything if you're not willing to face the reality. You know? So if they've been happening at the end of the last 2 or 3 years, are they going to happen again at the end of next year? And is this a pattern for us? We'll talk about that more and other things when we get back here to the Dr. Kevin Show.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
My son shot his brother. 911, what is your emergency?
Okay.
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, and welcome back to the last segment of Planetary Influences here on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we're on with astrologer and hypnotist, and a bunch of other things that he can tell you what they are. Rob Stewart from innercenter.org. So, Rob, was I making any sense when we went to break about this pattern thing? And do you have any idea if we're scheduled to have a solar eclipse at the end of 2021?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't have my stuff here, so I don't have a quick answer to that. I don't have the dates available at the time, but I'd have to look, but certainly with a solar eclipse in Sagittarius, it's going to bring about themes of expanding our perspective and our lens in which we see the world. But it's sort of an unexpected new way of looking at that. That's what the solar eclipse brings.
Okay.
Yeah, so
2021 has four eclipses, two solars and two lunars. And one is on June 10th. And the other one is, because, you know, I'm curious, so it's just, I'm not seeing where the other one is. I just kind of looked it up. It's only got the June 10th one listed. I don't know why it doesn't have the other one. That's really, December 4th.
Right.
So June 10th and December 4th. So yet again, two solar eclipses, though. So
yep.
June and December. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have my stuff, unfortunately.
That's okay. I just hopped on and just Googled it. Life before Google. What was it like? Anyway.
Hey, well, that's a great segue to this next thing I wanted to talk about, which is on December 17th and December 19th, Saturn and Jupiter enter the sign of Aquarius. And this is a really big deal because on the 21st of December, we're having a Jupiter-Saturn conjunction. And that's what's called the Great Conjunction that occurs every 20 years. And so what it represents is a new 20-year cycle in finances and sort of authority structures in the world. And, you know, Saturn and Jupiter conjunctions is about maturity, it's about balance, it's about quality over quantity, and it's about putting together step-by-step improvements in structure, in authority systems, in financial systems. And over the past 200 years, these Jupiter-Saturn conjunctions have occurred in Earth signs. And that what that means is, you know, sort of the financial systems that were based in physical things and material things. And this will be the first great conjunction in an air sign. And this will continue over the next 200 years. And so there's been this shift. Whenever in astrology, whenever there's a shift of a planet from one sign into the next sign, there's sort of this massive change that occurs, and it can be cataclysmic type of change, but there's some permanent shift that occurs in these things. And so our financial systems, and we've seen it this year, you know, all these Pluto conjunctions we've had this year are really transforming the structures in our life, whether that's government structures, financial systems, education systems. You know, this COVID crisis has affected so many things. And this is really, in astrological terms, it's bringing about transformation to shift into a new paradigm, an Aquarian paradigm. And so Aquarius is about the mind, it's about technology, it's about networks. And so there's this shift that's occurring to more technology. And the question is, are we using technology constructively? And I think one could argue that we're using technology constructively in some ways, and in other ways it's become totally deconstructive, perhaps, or, you know, there's a lot of challenges that technology brings as well. And so with Aquarius, this shift into Aquarian systems, it brings the potential for liberation and freedom from these past conditioning that we've had. Aquarius is about equality, it's about innovation, it's about revolution and liberation. It's about everyone being valued, it's interconnectedness and reconnection with the natural laws of the earth, of the universe. But there's the shadow side of Aquarius, which is a herd mentality. It's about the shadow side is like not thinking for oneself and fitting into the collective, where in Aquarius, it's about being different. you know, the differences, different views, different ways of being. And so these are the things that to be aware of. But this, it'll be sort of this gradual shift into this Aquarian systems, which will probably last until that the shift will last, will take until 2024 when Pluto moves into Aquarius as well. But there's going to be a massive shift into more into technology, more into digital trade. And the question is, okay, how is this done in a positive sense rather than the negative sense of that technology can bring about? And so let's see. Yeah. So, you know, moving into this Aquarian, these Aquarian systems about moving out of imbalances, those imbalances in sexism and racism and hostility to those that are different than one another. You know, it's about finding new systems of local communities, new systems of governance that do not involve power over dynamics and authoritarianism, if I can say that word correctly. There's something about grassroots change with Aquarian systems. And so there's this huge paradigm shift over the next 200 years. And this is the first time. It actually did occur 20 years ago. There was a conjunction in Libra 20 years ago. But that always occurs at the end of the cycle. It's like a sneak peek of this new paradigm that is we're moving into. And that sneak peek occurred in, let's see here in the notes, December, it was, I think it was 1980 or 81, in which a conjunction occurred in Libra for the first time in 200 years. And that was the sneak peek. And here in 2020, we're now going to be every 20 years, there's a conjunction in air signs. And this is a massive change in the economy, a massive change in institutions and finances and everything else. And
well, that's
and one,
go ahead.
One other thing I want to speak about that is that on this date, December 21st, obviously it's a winter solstice, so it has, there's a lot of themes related to that, but also Mars is squaring Pluto on that day. And that speaks to potential for selfish ambitions and dynamics of power and control. And so, you know, I want to be clear, this isn't, there's still these themes that are rampant in this world that we're living in. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, what this is suggesting for the next 20 years, they're stepping into a more Aquarian systems, but still working through these power struggles, these confrontations, these power over, power under things as we're stepping into a new paradigm, the beginnings of this new systems and institutions.
Which brings us back to my poem. The world is, the human race has all these illnesses, and the world can't heal until we heal them within ourselves and then within the world. And some of what you're talking about is exactly what I was talking about in the poem. Imagine that. So,
yeah,
you know, these times of transition,
go ahead.
These times of transition always are going to be surrounded by the age, that which is passing away is fighting for its life. So it will be turbulent, chaotic, violent. People will do things you never would have thought and we'll see things we never would have thought. That's what it tells you when we're in an age of transition. That's what happens. So what were you going to say, Rob?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, you know, there's some real problems with, you know, regarding, you know, how to use technology in a conscious way, in a positive way. There's a lot of, the things are moving to technological trade and to all these things, which is absolutely wonderful, but also brings these massive challenges and difficulties. And, you know, Aquarius, it's also known for creating disconnection, working in ways that bring about some, that can be traumatizing at times. And, you know, I look around, you know, I can't imagine growing up today where, not having that human to human connectedness, but connecting over devices and things like that, which is wonderful in one side of the coin. And the other side of the coin, it's unfortunate that these human interactions aren't able to occur in the way that they were in the past. And so there's a lot of obviously navigating these types of challenges here, and it brings up a lot of things to work through. There's no doubt about that.
So that is the
perfect segue note
for me to actually
talk about something that I've got coming up in 2021, and it sounds like I'm just right on schedule.
With all this stuff is, you know,
because you attended a smaller version of one, I believe, but you know that I had for 3 years the Web of Light Expo. And over that time period, I threw three big ones, and then I threw, you know, four big ones, and then I threw two or three smaller ones, like one day, whatever, speakers, stuff like that, to make things available for seekers and people that wanted to share their gifts and talents with people who were looking for them, and people that were just simply spiritual seekers that wanted to see what was going on out there. And I find that people are hungry for hope, hungry for tools and for skill sets and for things to help them navigate these challenging times. So I am working on finalizing the dates, and I'll be also finalizing the rosters. But in 2021, at this moment, the goal I've set and I'm putting together is I will be doing a Web of Light Expo speaker series in a Zoom format. Now, it's a speaker healer series, and it will be set up, and I'm looking to do it every time on a Saturday or a Sunday. People will that buy tickets will come in, and then they will have the first speaker or teacher who will have things of tools, skill sets, hopes, inspiration, motivation, whatever. I have a huge, huge set of contacts in my web. Some of the best spiritual teachers and authors and all out there. And I'm going to be then, people will then be able to attend some kind of intuitive psychic mediumship, whatever circle. So they'll have a chance to have some of that for 55 minutes. Each one of these will be 55 minutes. So people will be able to do something right at their house on their computer for the 55 minutes, get up, stretch around, go to the bathroom, get something to eat, whatever, and then come back and boom, there'll be something else. And then at this point, tentatively, there'll be another teacher speaker coming on, another break, and then we will have a healer doing some kind of sound healing or group meditation or some kind of something to help them move forward. And then we will close with one last one. So there will be five over the day. I am looking at doing these every other month for 2021. And each one of them will be different. So I have a couple of people that speak on some very different topics that I know are just fabulous presenters. So you may have the same presenter be in January 1 as in the May 1, but they'll be speaking on a completely different subject. So I'm putting all that together. I was very drawn that I needed to do that. I've actually participated in something that was a little like this, somewhat like this, not exactly, but as a speaker, and got a lot of feedback that there are a lot of people that are really hungry out there to be and stay connected now that, you know, a lot of shops have closed or have very limited hours. A lot of classes are not happening. And if they are, people aren't always feeling safe. And live expos definitely may return at some point in 2021 or may not. So it sounds like I'm going to be like riding in that wave of the Aquarian change. What do you think?
Yep, that sounds great.
So we will be talking to Rob next month around the same time to see where this last month left us and what we have to look forward to here on the Dr. Kevin Show. Rob, thank you as always. Go visit Rob at innercenter.org. Namaste. And everybody have a great Thanksgiving.